Unpredictable and the Unexplained. It's Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on News Radio 750 KXL.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number to call tonight is 1-866-SYSTEM-ZERO. That's 1-866-797-8360. And tonight you may want to get on the line quickly because we got a number of people who've been calling in, waiting in line to talk with our special guest tonight. You can go to www.clydelewis.com if you're so inclined to go and get on and listen tonight online. Also, we have a chat room you can get into. It's the Ground Zero chat room. All you do is go to the interactive section of the website, and you go to chat room, and there you will see the chat room all ready to go, and all you got to do is just participate in the chat room tonight as we have another Ground Zero get it ready for you tonight. And very excited because we've had a lot of gangbuster shows in the past couple weeks, and we're very happy to be doing these for you and hope that you're enjoying them because we really, really love to get the feedback. We see people all the time in the guest books. We see people in the forums. We see the traffic coming to the website. It really makes us happy because a lot of the times when shows like this get on the air, we run into this situation where people don't understand what we're trying to produce. They don't understand what we're trying to do here. And so they sometimes think to themselves, well, you know, it's just a show on Sunday night. And people have been giving their appreciation to stations, telling them they really enjoy the program. And we're very happy that they're doing that because, you know, we want to keep the show going for you, and we want to keep doing programs that are really going to entertain you, make you feel good, and make you happy, and kind of make you think a bit and make you see some other sides outside of the lines, outside of the box. That's what Ground Zero is all about. And, you know, we do it from the heart. That's the important thing. Ground Zero is straight from the heart. And I'll tell you something. My guest tonight is Kevin Smith. I guess it's no secret. We put it out on the website that he was going to be on the program. And one of the things I admire the most about Kevin Smith is that Kevin Smith does produce things from his heart. You can tell that his movies are from the heart. You can tell that the comic books that he's involved with come from the heart. Comic books like Daredevil, for example, and wrote a little bit in the Preacher series, and now he has taken the comic book The Green Arrow, and he has revived Oliver Queen, which I think is remarkable because when I was a kid, we used to see these Slurpee glasses that we used to get at, these Slurpee tumblers that we used to get. And I remember I got one of those Green Arrow ones. And I often wondered who Green Arrow was, and I saw the Green Arrow hung out with all the cool superheroes from Superman on down the line. And so when I heard that the Green Arrow was being revived and that Kevin Smith was behind the project for DC Comics, I was excited because it would give me a chance to maybe rediscover a comic book hero from the past. And the only problem I had, though, was that, you know, I always thought that maybe that he died off, and he did, from what I gather. He died off back in 1998. So I guess only Kevin Smith can tell us how he got involved with this comic book. He can also tell us about what's coming up, some projects that he's doing. So let's just bring him right on the program now. Kevin Smith, welcome to Ground Zero.
Hey, thanks for having me. Say, what is this?
What is what?
Ground Zero.
It's.
I'm just kidding. I heard your big explanation.
Yeah, it blows you away, doesn't it? Just that whole first half of it with Godzilla and everything else.
Oh, I mean, it's incredibly well produced.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we are the. I like to call myself the Star Wars of radio, and Ian, my producer, is like, you know, he loves to just, you know, play with all kinds of sounds and stuff, and I do too. We just goof off in the studio all the time.
good stuff.
Well, thank you.
I got to correct a little piece of information. I didn't write anything for Preacher. I wrote an intro for a Preacher trade paperback.
Oh, did you? I thought you were involved with the series in some way.
No, that's been Garth Ennis's comic and Steve Dillon's comic from beginning to end. I wrote an intro to a trade paperback. I think it was Until the End of the World.
You're a fan, though.
Out a while.
You're a big
fan.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. And so did you start with comics, or did you just want to, you know, plant your feet deep in the movies at first?
I think I was a comics fan long before I was a movie fan or a film fan.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, I was into comics as a kid, and then I fell out of it in high school, and then got back into it in '89, right after high school.
Who's your favorite comic book hero when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, it was probably Spider-Man. I was also a big fan of Nightcrawler from the X-Men, even though I never really read X-Men. I just thought he looked very good and sounded like he had a pretty cool origin.
See, I was always a Batman fan from the get-go.
Yeah, when I was a very small child, I used to watch the Batman TV show, the campy Adam West thing, but I was never a big Batman comics fan.
I had beers with Adam West once. It was a dream come true.
Mm.
I met Adam West and had beers with him, and I asked him a question. I said, out of all the Catwomen, Lee Merriweather, Julie Newmar, and Eartha Kitt, who would you most want to have sex with in the backseat of the Batmobile? You know what he told me? He said all three.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now there's a guy with a bat libido.
Exactly. So now you're working on the Green Arrow.
Right.
And we're already, how many in now? About three?
Three. The fourth one, I guess, comes out this week.
Now I knew that the Green Arrow, that Oliver Queen had died.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was in issue 101 back in 1998 or 1999 or so.
Yeah, something along those lines.
And when I heard that you were going to bring him back, we were all curious as to how this was all going to take place and wondering whether or not is he or isn't he still dead.
Right.
Now, are we going to reveal that, or are you going to be revealing that soon, or what's going on?
The whole initial story arc that we're doing, which is called Quiver, pretty much explains what happened. That's basically what the 11 or 12 issue story arc, I'm not sure how long it is at this point, is going to be. It just when you think you kind of understand it. I mean, it seems pretty clear from issue one what happened, but it's not. The whole story is not there, and it keeps unfolding. We get a little more information about what happened in issue 5, 6, 7, 8. It starts seeming like it's wrapping up and kind of gives you the idea that you know the full story, but it continues to reveal new stuff constantly right up until the end.
Right. And I also noticed that on the cover, I noticed the artwork of Matt Wagner on the cover there. I've talked with Matt before.
Yeah, he's an excellent guy.
Yeah, and
a fantastic artist.
Oh, yeah, the artwork that's on that he did for Batman, the Two-Face that he used.
Yes.
With the Two-Face they used in the movies.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he was the guy that kind of threw the pinkish, reddish, purplish hue on the Two-Face in comics, and then they used it for Batman Forever.
Yeah, and so whatever he usually puts up there usually is etched in stone, and I know that there was, I was looking over some of the websites talking about the Green Arrow, and they were talking about his different costume changes and all the things that he has, and they were speaking that this was the definitive look, that they were really excited about the new look for him and how he looked. So
right.
I think we're heading in the right direction here with the book and with Matt Wagner. And it looks really cool.
And the guy, Matt, does all the cover stuff, which is gorgeous. The interiors are done by these dudes, Phil Hester and Andy Parks. They do a really great job with colors by Guy Major. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. I've been a fan of their work since back when they were, well, since Phil was doing Swamp Thing. He jumped on Swamp Thing toward the end of the run when Mark Millar was writing it.
Uh-huh.
And kind of fell in love with his stuff there. And I got to work with him once on this Clerks one shot we did, Clerks the Lost Scene, which was comic book story about the what happened at the funeral that Dante and Randall attended in Clerks. We never showed in the movie, but we were able to do in comics.
Was that the ending that where the shooting, the one that didn't get put in there?
No. We basically did a comic book story about what happened when they went into the funeral. At one point in the movie, they go into a funeral, and we put up a card that says 5 minutes later, and they come running out.
Right,
and
right.
You hear about kind of what went on, but with a comic book, we were able to do like a 22, 24-page story about what happened. You know, uh-huh. Nothing that you want to spend time doing in a theater, but it was fun to do on the page, and Phil did the artwork, Phil and Andy. It was a great job.
Now, I just recently rented, or actually, I got the DVD for the Clerks animated series.
The cartoons?
Yeah. And that was, I saw all six episodes. That was great.
Thank you.
And there was something you said in the commentary that I thought was interesting, and I wanted to, you know, ask you, are we going to see a Clerks animated feature on the big screen?
Yeah, we're writing it right now. Miramax wants to do it very badly, almost more so than us. I mean, we were kind of interested in doing it, but every time I see Harvey Weinstein, the chairman of Miramax, that's the first thing out of his mouth is the script done for the cartoon movie. So that I think will probably be next after we finish the current film we're working on, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. There's a cartoon movie, and there's also this deal in development to go back to TV with Clerks, the cartoon on a different network.
Are we talking WB, UPN?
Nope.
No?
Yeah. Some boys off.
It's so early in the deal. You're not going to say where it is. Okay. Because I know that in the commentary you were talking about some deal that you were offered and you decided to take ABC.
At one point UPN offered us like 12 episodes on the air. Boom. And we were encouraged to go with ABC because it was... ABC is owned by Disney, and Disney owns Miramax, and Touchstone TV were the co-producers of the show, and so we were told, hey, this keeps it all in the family, and we bought that hook, line, and sinker, like a bunch of idiots, and look what happened.
Yeah.
And then we went back to the UPN. When we found out we were getting the action from ABC, we went crawling back to the UPN to Dean Valentine, the guy that had the UPN, and begged him to take the show, and he wouldn't do it. He felt that we'd burn that bridge, so, more power to him. He stuck by his integrity.
It's still a great DVD, though, and to listen to the commentary on the video and on the DVD is just fantastic. My guest is Kevin Smith, and we all know who Kevin Smith is, right? Of course we do. Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, movie Dogma, also the animated series of Clerks, and tonight's talking about his comic book history with the Green Arrow. If you have anything you want to ask Kevin, you can get in right now at 1-866-SYSTEM-0. That's 1-866-797-8360. Kevin Smith is my guest. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
Keep your mind where they can't get at it. Ground Zero.
Ground Zero on News Radio 750 KXL.
The Star Super Pack is number one in new hit movies. With up to 12 different movie channels, it's the only place you'll see the award-winning movies Aaron Brockovich and U-571, The Cell and The Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps, all for about $12 a month. Call 800-SUPER-PACK. It's number one in new hit movies.
Number one in new hit movies based on year 2000. Total number of primetime earns of first run theatricals with at least $20 million in box office receipts. With subscription to digital cable or satellite TV, availability and price may vary.
Simpleton!
It's Simpson, sir.
Here's your spring bonus.
A bonus? Oh, great. Sir, this is a coupon.
A GM Goodwin Service Plus coupon.
And my bonus?
The plus is the bonus, Simpleton. It means Quick Lube Plus oil changes are only $19.95 or less.
Oh, but, sir, this coupon is free.
Right. Bonuses for everyone!
Get your free coupons at save.gmgoodwrench.com. Coupon must be presented at time of purchase. Special prices and soon taxes extra. See dealer for details.
Mom, my stomach. It feels yucky.
Honey, grab the Dramamine.
Where is it?
Didn't you pack it?
I thought you packed it.
Double yucky.
Don't let motion sickness spoil the trip. Dramamine original formula works faster than any other brand of motion sickness tablet. And it's even safe for kids as young as two.
Feel better, sweetie.
No more yucky.
Put the brakes on motion sickness. Always pack Dramamine. Use as directed.
Some original thinking by Starbucks barista Bob Glenn.
My idea of a Starbucks experience is a sense of community. I love people, and what working at Starbucks has allowed me to do is get involved in people's lives more directly. What I think is so great about Starbucks coffee being available in the grocery store now is that Starbucks selects the coffee, roasts the coffee, packages the coffee to enjoy it, and not just to enjoy it necessarily by yourself, but really to enjoy it with other people.
Your favorite Starbucks coffee, at grocery, at home, at last.
You know what it's like when you first see someone and your heart races and you wonder, do I make the first move? Play it like I don't see her. Will her through telepathy to come my way. Well, here's a move that's sure to work. Papa Sirt's Powerful Mint. Frosty Mint taste for clean, fresh breath. Sirt's little drop of breath and can give you a big hit of confidence. Now get out there. Go ahead. Be certain with certs.
Andrew Hall for Scan Diet.
Ever heard of yo-yo dieting? You know, you lose a lot of weight, you put it back on, you lose a lot of weight, put it back on. One minute you're eating egg whites, the next you're having a BLT, heavy on the B. The alternative is Scan Diet at General Nutrition Center. 10 years of clinical research proves that soy-based Scan Diet will significantly reduce body weight. Now you can find a gene size and stay there. Scan Diet, exclusively at GNC. Live well.
Use in conjunction with enclosed healthy diet and exercise program. Individual results may vary.
Ground Zero.
Frost pens have always been a great gift for graduations, and new Frost styles are perfect for the class of 2001. Here's Cross Morph, the first fine writing instrument with an adjustable grip. And then there's new Cross Ion, the pocket-sized gel ink pen that opens for writing and closes for easy carrying. Cross Morph and Ion, for graduation and Father's Day, too. See them wherever fine pens are sold, or at cross.com, where you can get free engraving, free gift wrap, and a personalized note card.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to a few of the thousands of delighted people who've taken the Gold Bond Challenge, comparing their regular powder to Gold Bond powder. Gold Bond contains ingredients specially formulated to soothe and cool your skin, keeping you refreshed all day.
Ooh.
Take the Gold Bond Challenge yourself. Compare Gold Bond to your regular powder and discover the difference between fresh and refreshing.
Ooh.
Use as directed.
Go ahead, call into Ground Zero at 1-866-SYSTEM-ZERO on News Radio 750 KXL.
God moves in mysterious ways, but not as mysteriously as his mortal believers. Call Clyde at 1-866-SYSTEM-ZERO.
My guest is Kevin Smith. We all know Kevin Smith, of course, the director of Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, and Dogma. He's also been actively involved in writing several best-selling comic books. In fact, at the moment, he's writing a comic book series, Green Arrow, for DC Comics. We're taking your calls tonight at 1-866-797-8360. Now, this is a toll-free call. A lot of people still have not figured out that 866 is a toll-free call. They ran out of 800 numbers, so they go 1-866, then 797-8360, and you can talk to Kevin tonight as we talk about Green Arrow and a few of his projects that he's involved with, including Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which will be happening in August. So let's go to Matt on line 3. Hi, Matt. You're on Ground Zero with Kevin Smith. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Hi, I had a question about the Star City Flare from the Green Arrow comics.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. What can you tell us about him? I mean, my question was actually, are we going to find out if he's going to have something to do with Ollie's origin or not? What can you tell us about him?
Very little. I've given away what happens over the next few issues. I mean, it's something I'd rather sit on because there are very few surprises plot-wise in the book. Most people feel they already have it figured out.
Yeah.
Not right, but still. But I don't know. I'd rather kind of sit on it. It's, I don't know. I'd hesitate to say it's a red herring of a plot thread, but it's not as important as what's to come, really.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I did actually have another question. It's not about the comic book, though.
Sure, go ahead.
There was a rumor a while back that you and Jason Lee might be doing a Fletch movie.
Yeah.
Is there any more material to that? I mean, have you got the script or what?
What had happened was right before we went into pre-production on Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Miramax had picked up the, I think about 10 or, I believe it was about 10. There was a certain number of books written by Gregory MacDonald. Gregory MacDonald had written a series of Fletch books.
Huh.
They based the first movie on one of the books, which was called Simply Fletch. Miramax optioned the library of books minus two that feature characters called Flynn. They optioned the series for me to pick and choose from to adapt and write and direct a flick based on them. And the one we want to do is a book called Fletch One, W-O-N, which was basically sixth or seventh in the series, I think. But it was a year one story, basically told the story of Fletch when he first got to the paper.
Cool.
Before he became the journalist he was. So I guess that's kind of next. That's one of the next projects we'll be working on. And I want to do it with Jason Lee. It has to be a younger version of Fletch. Can't be Chevy Chase because he's a kid in the book. Kid, like 20-something. So Jason Lee is my choice, and hopefully they agree with that, and that'll be next.
Yeah, that'd be a cool thing to say.
Yeah, it'd be very cool.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, man.
Bye-bye. Thank you for calling. Bye. So Jay and Silent Bob would show up in a Fletch movie, do you think?
No, never.
Well, they showed up in a Scream movie.
They did indeed, but not a Fletch movie.
How did that end up? How did you end up showing up in Scream?
Bob Weinstein, who's the chairman of Dimension, who we're making our current flick with right now, he had called and asked if we wanted to throw the characters in there and pop in Scream 3 for an appearance because it took place on a movie set.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to get a bunch of Miramax people, a bunch of the Miramax cavalcade of stars, if you will, to pop in to the flick, you know, being that it took place on the movie set. But we were the only ones that said yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we stuck by our word and did it, showed up. That was fun. It was kind of cool. Yeah, somebody else's movie.
I always felt that maybe Jay and Silent Bob should show up in a lot of other movies. I think that they're just kind of like, you know, they're kind of like those Sergio Aroganes cartoons in Mad Magazine where they just got to show up and it's kind of like, was that Jay and Silent Bob in the movie?
Jason Mewes actually felt the same way. When we went to do the shoot, the Scream 3 shoot, they gave us like our own trailer. We were only there for a day and they gave us our own trailers and we got in the trailers and they had Scream 3 shirts waiting for us and also they pay you, you know, the SAG daily rate, but they also give you per diem. It's free money that you can buy food and cigarettes with, which is real weird because you can get free food and free cigarettes on the set anyway, but they
sure.
just give you this free money. It's cash to walk around with. So they gave us like $200 per diem. He comes over to my trailer, and he was just like a child at Christmas. And he was like, Moves. He calls me Moves.
Yeah.
Moves, look, a shirt and $200. This is awesome. We should do this all the time. And I said, we kind of do it all the time. You know, this is what we normally do. We make movies for a living. And he's like, no, but I mean, we should pop up in horror movies all the time. Just you and me, we just keep going to horror movie after horror movie, and we get $200 and a shirt every time we do it. I'm like, we also get paid above and beyond that, but we still have our other movies that we work on as well. And he was a little stumped, but then he was like, but look, $200 cash in a shirt. It was kind of charming.
It's kind of like All Red's Three Nephites, you know, they show up and they live forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like C-3PO and R2-D2. They're always together and they always show up. And,
right.
and it would be cool because I remember when I saw them in Scream, I was really excited because I thought, this is so cool. It's like the world, you know, the world kind of like comes together and Jay and Silent Bob are watchers over the galaxy and over the world and they take care of us every day.
That was the nice thing. I was really worried that the movie would get out there and the audience, we'd pop on the screen for that brief scene and the audience would be like, what the hell is that all about? Who are they?
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
I heard feedback.
We'll be right back, Kevin. We'll be right back. Hold on. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
To Ground Zero. Mind control by the information underground.
Ground Zero on News Radio 750 KXL.
News Radio 750 KXL, I'm Charlie Maxton. California Senator Barbara Boxer says she's appalled that President Bush is not considering putting caps on the price of electricity. Energy Secretary Spencer Abraham argues the caps would only hurt California. He blames the energy crunch on the state's failure to build new power plants. A tragedy was averted at the Troutdale Airport this morning. Airport spokesman Steve Johnson.
A private aircraft with one individual on board was coming into Troutdale Airport, and currently there was a problem with the landing gear.
The landing gear had collapsed on the Mooney aircraft, made for a rough landing, but the pilot walked away uninjured. A man was killed last night when he was thrown from a car he was riding on top of. 33-year-old Calvin Boatman of Silverton fell off the car as it was rounding a curve on Highway 214 east of Silverton. Boatman rolled down an embankment and hit his head. So far, no charges against the driver. 750 KXL traffic and weather together. It looks pretty good on the Portland roads right now. Your 750 KXL forecast, a clear sky tonight, getting down to 45 overnight. Sunny and warm on Monday. High is near 85 degrees. And Monday night, a clear sky. Overnight low around 52. Right now, we have a clear sky in Portland and 67 degrees. I'm Charlie Maxton, News Radio 750 KXL.
Portland is ready. We have what it takes. Passionate sports fans. A world-class facility. Community support. Portland is definitely ready. You can bring NHL hockey to Portland by calling toll-free 866-NHL-2PDX or going to NHL2PDX.com. Act now for priority seating and register your support for the Portland Sports Authority's NHL to Portland campaign. Brochures available at Fred Meyer. NHL to Portland. Make it happen.
Right now, the Oregon History Center has one of the most stunning exhibits of American Indian art on display. The Keeping the Spirit Alive exhibit is a powerful, content-rich exhibition of more than 90 rare objects from the Pamplin collection, spanning more than 200 years. These objects capture the color, drama, and excitement of American Indian culture. The exhibit is made even more powerful by photographs and stories. Experience Keeping the Spirit Alive. Visit the Oregon History Center, open Tuesday through Sunday. The Oregon Historical Society, preserving the past, inspiring the future.
Do you want to lighten your energy bills? At Clark Public Utilities, we can help. For many years, we have encouraged you, our customer owners, to use electricity wisely, and you've responded. Now, with higher rates and limited supplies, we want to remind you of how to get the most for your energy dollars. Here's residential energy counselor Dwayne Lorenz.
Heating water is the second largest energy user in most homes. Here are some ways you can reduce the amount of energy used to heat water. Wash only full loads in your clothes washer and use cold or warm water settings whenever possible. Also use the lowest possible water level setting and always use a cold water rinse. When using your dishwasher, wash only full loads and use the air dry setting and other power saving features. If you have leaking or dripping faucets, fix them as soon as you can.
Electricity is a valuable product, and we want to help you use it wisely. For more conservation information, visit our website, clarkpud.com, or give us a call. Clark Public Utilities, providing reliable, friendly service at an affordable price.
The weather is getting a whole lot nicer, and while the cold of winter is behind us, the strain on our energy resources isn't. In fact, our dry winter will make the energy problems during the heat of summer even greater. One way to put your family and home in a more comfortable position is to replace outdated or inefficient windows. And LBL Windows, the leader in custom windows, can help find the solution that meets your needs. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, inefficient windows can make your air conditioner work 2 to 3 times harder. By replacing with a customized LBL window complete with lifetime guarantee, you'll make an investment that you'll get back time and time again through your energy bills, especially during months of extreme weather. Lock out the heat and make your family more comfortable this summer. Call LBL Windows at 503-667-8979 and ask for the LBL dealer nearest you or visit their website at lblwindows.com. LBL Windows, custom windows for your home.
LBL Windows is an approved Energy Star partner.
Get your Blazer news all year long with Courtside on News Radio 750 KXL.
The coaches that are in the finals are the old foxy dogs, not these young whippersnappers.
The latest from the Blazers, fire and NBA news and notes, all from Steve Jones and Mike Rice. Courtside, every Monday 6 to 8 on your Blazer station. News Radio 750 KXL. Your news, traffic, and weather station. Go ahead, call into Ground Zero at 1-866-System-0 on News Radio 750 KXL.
Oh, God.
Ground Zero prevents brain decay. Call Clyde now. 1-866-System-0.
Ladies, 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 J7 Bomber ready to hit you.
Anyone who isn't dead or from another plane of existence would be well to cover their ears.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
I'm saying what you need is a fatty boom batty blunt. The Jedi mind trick. Jedi mind trick.
Jedi mind trick.
Adventure, excitement, the Jedi craves not these things.
Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero, 1-866-System-0. That's 1-866-797-8360. I'm talking to my guest tonight, Kevin Smith, the director extraordinaire, the wonderful director extraordinaire. Everybody that I talk with, when I said, Kevin Smith's going to be on the show, I just saw Chasing Amy just the other day. Oh, I just rented Mallrats. It's like everybody re-rents and rents and re-rents his movies. You just can't get enough of them. And I'm sure, Kevin, you're happy to hear that.
Yeah, that's always good to hear.
Yeah, well, you know.
It usually also kind of denotes that they didn't see them in the theater. So it's also not so great to hear. But, you know, as long as they're seeing them, that's really what it's all about.
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of people did see it in the theater and want to see it again. I know I have a friend of mine, and we always, you know, when the DVDs come out and everything, we always get your films and watch them again. We watch the Mallrats commentary.
Awesome.
And I have another friend of mine, and I'm going to ask this question. You can tell me if I'm right or wrong. This other friend of mine tells me that you did a Bigfoot film. Is that true?
There was a flick that we produced, an executive produced, called Drawing Flies.
Drawing Flies.
By a guy named Malcolm Ingram, and it was about these people looking for Bigfoot, yeah, back in 95.
Yeah, and apparently they have it, and they said that they would find a way for me to get a peek at it. So
it's actually coming out on DVD, I think, in August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't hearing the wrong information, that you were involved somehow in any Bigfoot film.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's go to Robin right now. Hi, Robin. You're on Ground Zero with Kevin Smith.
Hi. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to Kevin tonight. Kevin, I'm a teacher. And from what Clyde was just saying, obviously you have a lot of young fans because of the movies that you do.
Yes.
But I'm really glad that you're talking tonight about the work that you're doing in comic books.
Uh-huh.
I think that a lot of times comic books are overlooked as an art form, and also as a teacher, I'm really interested in anything that's going to get people reading. So,
what grades do you teach?
So I was wondering if maybe you could talk a little bit about how you got involved in comics and possibly maybe give some advice to people who maybe aren't that familiar with comic books about how they can maybe start reading them or find out a little bit more about your work in the comics, where they can pick those up and things like that.
Can I ask you a question first?
Uh-huh.
At what grades do you teach?
Actually, at the moment, I work with teachers, but mostly secondary, so it would be high school.
So have you tried to introduce comics into any of the curriculum there?
Yeah, in fact, that's one of my big projects.
That's tremendous.
Trying to get comic books into the classrooms and into school libraries. I think it's really important.
That's great. Now, what were your questions?
My question was, I was hoping that maybe you could talk a little bit about how you got into comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps give some advice to people who maybe aren't familiar with comics, that they're not as popular as they used to be.
Right.
And I know that some people just don't even know how to go about kind of getting into that.
I mean, I first got into comics as a kid, then I fell out of it in high school, and then I picked up again when my friend Walter Flanagan handed me a copy of Dark Knight Returns, and that was back in 89, and I've been an avid reader and buyer and retailer since then. Although I haven't been retailing since 89, I've been retailing since 96.
Mm-hmm.
But how I got into it, actually working in it, was a long time ago when we were doing Chasing Amy. I had approached Bob Schreck, who then worked at Dark Horse Comics, about doing a tie-in Blunt Man and Chronic comic that we could put out at the same time as the movie, kind of as a marketing tie-in, and also just because I just wanted to do a comic book. And he went to Mike Richardson and heads up Dark Horse with it, and Mike Richardson said, no, absolutely not, it sounds stupid. And that was it. That was the end of my comic
sure.
crossover adventure. And then a couple of years later, Bob Schreck left Dark Horse and started a comic book company called Oni Press.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me up, and he's like, hey, do you still want to do some comics? And I said, yeah, I'd be way into that. So we started doing the Clerks one-shots, and that led to the Jay and Silent Bob miniseries, and I had done a story in their anthology book called the Oni Double Feature, the Matt Wagner drew. It was called Walt Flanagan's Dog. And around the same time, Joe Quesada, who had done some artwork for us in both Mallrats, the opening credits of Mallrats, and in Chasing Amy, he did the covers to the cover to the comic book that Hooper X drew called White Hating Coon. He called me up, and he was working at Marvel again, and they'd given him editorial reign over a few books that he called Marvel Knights. The imprint was called Marvel Knights. And he knew I was a longtime fan of Daredevil based on Frank Miller's run and wanted to know if I wanted to take a shot at writing it. So I got involved about the same time as I did with Oni Press with Joe and starting to do Daredevil. So that was back in like 97 something. So I've been, I think the first comics that I wrote finally came out and at some point in 97. We were still working on Dogma, I believe, when the Oni double feature came out, and then Daredevil came out, I believe, in 98. So those guys got me into it. And what was the other question?
Oh, just that was quite the explanation. I hope that everybody was able to follow that. I guess I just wanted to know if you had any advice for young people, particularly about comic books, maybe how they could get into it, something that they could start with, or maybe why they should read comic books.
Well, what kind of young people are we talking about? How old?
Well, probably, you know, secondary, junior high, high school kids.
I mean, they should just pick up just about anything out there. it's really great stuff. I mean, tying it all into a secondary school or high school literary program, any of the Vertigo books would be a great read.
Now, I'm not sure that they would be appropriate in a lot of cases for public school.
Really, you think?
The Vertigo books have a little bit of strong language and some adult situations.
we could. You asked about Sandman. You don't think Gaiman Sandman would work out, or do you think that'd be?
Well,
okay?
I think that young adults who are able to make their own reading decisions would really be surprised at the level of writing that takes place in comics these days.
Yeah, but
I think you just have to be really careful when you're talking about bringing things into the schools.
Yeah, that's true. But I always think that you should throw them into the deep end of the pool, you know?
Oh, I agree, but you don't want to get sued. So.
Yeah, there is that problem, isn't there? I always think the best way into comics is probably through graphic novels. They're usually less expensive, all things considered, when you want to go back and start reading a run that's been around for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get into the graphic novels, and now most of the companies are jumping on board and doing them. DC has been doing graphic novels or trade paperback compilations for years, and now Marvel's picking up speed with their program as well. Jump onto those. If you like those, then you can segue into the actual weekly buying of comics, because that's the thing that most people don't realize when they think about comics that most people don't collect. It's a weekly upkeep kind of thing. I mean, it's a costly quote unquote hobby if you're doing it to collect them. I mean, I don't know many people that actually collect comics anymore. Most people I know just read comics.
I had this idea a while back too that, you know, we have movies that come out, then we have the video rentals, and then we have DVDs. Why is it that we don't have movies that come out, and then we have or books that come out rather that are hardcover, then softcover, and then graphic novel adaptation? That would be the next step, I think. And I think that that's one way we could get a hold of kids who wouldn't normally pick up books and get them into the graphic novel, where, you know, that way you can see it as well as read it.
Yeah, I guess that's always an option. But it's kind of, I think that becomes a little costly if you want to talk about adapting a lot of books. You have to get an artist on board. You have to secure licensing rights to the titles that you're talking about. And most people just don't want to get involved because that's kind of an inter-corporate hassle.
So that's probably why it hasn't been done, because it's just too costly.
Working with a prejudice in this country, particularly against comic books, most people still consider comic books a children's medium. So the idea of actually taking, I don't know, just take a Grisham book and adapting it into a graphic novel...